The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 10, text number 11, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on April 5th, 2010, in Riga, Latvia.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 10, text number 11.
Šodien mēs lasām no Šrīmad Bhagavad Gītas, 10. nodaļas, 11. pantu.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tesham mevanu kampartam.
Tesham
evanu kampartam. Aham jnana jang tamaha. Aham jnana jang tamaha. Nashayami atma bhavasto. Nashayami atma bhavasto. Jnanadipena basvata. Jnanadipena basvata. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with a shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Purport. When Lord Chaitanya was in Benares promulgating the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, thousands of people were following him. Prakashananda Saraswati, a very influential and learned scholar in Benares at the time, derided Lord Chaitanya for being a sentimentalist. Sometimes Mayavadi philosophers criticize the devotees because they think that most of the devotees are in the darkness of ignorance and are philosophically naive sentimentalists. Actually, that is not the fact. There are very, very learned scholars who have put forward the philosophy of devotion. But even if a devotee does not take advantage of their literatures or of his spiritual master, if he is sincere in his devotional service, he is helped by Krishna himself within his heart. So the sincere devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness cannot be without knowledge. The only qualification is that one carry out devotional service in full Krishna consciousness. The Mayavadi philosophers think that without discriminating, one cannot have pure knowledge. For them, this answer is given by the Supreme Lord. Those who are engaged in pure devotional service, even though they be without sufficient education and without sufficient knowledge of the Vedic principles, are still helped by the Supreme God, as stated in this verse. The Lord tells Arjuna that basically there is no question of understanding the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, simply by speculating. For the Supreme Truth is so great that it is not possible to understand Him or to achieve Him simply by making a mental effort. Man can go on speculating for several millions of years, and if he is not devoted, if he is not a lover of the Supreme Truth, he will never understand Krishna or the Supreme Truth. Only by devotional service is the Supreme Truth Krishna pleased, and by His inconceivable energy, He can reveal Himself to the heart of the pure devotee. The pure devotee always has Krishna within his heart, And with the presence of Krishna, who is just like the sun, the darkness of ignorance is at once dissipated. This is the special mercy rendered to the pure devotee by Krishna. Due to the contamination of material association through many millions of births, one's heart is always covered with the dust of materialism. But when one engages in devotional service and constantly chants Hare Krishna, the dust quickly clears and one is elevated to the platform of pure knowledge. The ultimate goal, Vishnu, can be attained only by this chant and by devotional service and not by mental speculation or argument. The pure devotee does not have to worry about the material necessities of life. He need not be anxious, because when he removes the darkness from his heart, everything is provided automatically by the Supreme Lord, who is pleased with the loving devotional service of the devotee. This is the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. By studying Bhagavad Gita, one can become a soul completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord and engage himself in pure devotional service. As the Lord takes charge, one becomes completely free from all kinds of materialistic endeavors.
Shri Guru Shri Jata Bhada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sahagana Raghunatan Vita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamsha
Special Mercy. We need it. We need that special mercy. Because now we are in the darkness of ignorance. We are blinded by lust. We are blinded by anger and greed, madness, illusion, and envy. We're actually in a pitiable state. Therefore, how much we need the mercy. We desperately need the mercy. And Krishna is so kindly giving it to us. To who is he giving? When he says to show them, who is he talking about? In this verse he says to show them special mercy. Who is the them? Actually, Krishna is giving everyone mercy at every minute. But he has two channels in which he gives that mercy. One channel is the material energy. You know how that mercy comes. Ari atmik, ari daivik, and ari bhautik mercy. Not the kind of mercy you really want. Just like the government has mercy on the criminal, they put him in the prison to try to reform him, you see. Does he thank them when they come with the handcuffs and arrest him and say, "Oh, thank you very much for reforming me"? No. So that's one channel for the mercy. The material energy. And the other channel? That is the spiritual energy. As described here. So he's saying to show them special mercy. Now the them is described in the previous verse. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding of which they can come to me. So these are the souls that qualify for the special mercy. Those who are completely devoted. But what about poor souls like us who are trying to be devoted but are not completely devoted? We're somewhere in the middle. What's our fate? How do we get our mercy? Through the material energy or the spiritual energy? Do you know how we get it? So that is described in chapter 4, text number 11 of Bhagavad Gita. Ye yatamang prapajyante tangs the taiva bhajamyaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. That means if you are 10% surrendered to Krishna, then you get 10% of your mercy through the spiritual energy and 90% through the material energy. And if you are 90% surrendered, you get 90% of your mercy through the spiritual energy and only 10% through the material energy. So the good news, each one of us gets to choose how we want to get the mercy. You see? Just like when you turn on the TV set, you can flip the dial where you want it, you see. You can flip it to here or there. Wherever you want to flip it, you can flip it. You have complete control over the dial on the TV set where you want to flip it. So each one of us has complete control over where we want to flip that dial, you see, on the 0 to 100% scale of bhakti. And Krishna reciprocates according to where we set our dial, you see.
On Krishna atbild tieši proporcionāli tam, kādā veidā mēs būsim sevi iestādījuši uz šīs skalas.
So where is the obviously the most intelligent place to establish yourself on that 0 to 100% scale?
Un kas ir vissaprātīgākā vieta, kur sevi tad nostādīt uz šīs te skalas no 0 līdz 100%?
Obviously 100% bhakti, that is the intelligent place.
Un protams, ka
Jā, kurš tad ir tas kungs? Protams, ka 100% bhakti ir tas labākais kungs.
So why do we have so much difficulty doing that?
Un kāpēc mums ir tik grūti to izdarīt?
Bad association.
Slikta biedrošanās.
Because everywhere are people saying, what is this Krishna bhakti? This is just some make-believe thing. There's no real happiness there. Every billboard, every storefront, every movie, every magazine, everything is reinforcing the false bodily concept of life.
Katras plakāts, katras veikals, katloks, katra filma. Viss uzspiež mums un padara vien spēcīgāk šo koncepciju par to, ka mēs esam ķermenis.
Therefore, each and every one of us is haunted by so many doubts.
Un tāpēc ik viena no mums vairāk tik daudz dažādas šaubas.
So, we have to beg Krishna's help, just like Arjuna did.
Un mums ir jālūdz pēc Krishna's žēlastības, tā kā to darīja Arjuna.
As I explained the other day, Krishna is addressed as Madhusudana by Arjuna. Madhu is a demon that Krishna killed. So each one of us, we have so many Madhu demons of doubt within the heart. Therefore, we should beg that all merciful Lord to as Madhusudana to deliver us from these demons of doubt within the heart.
Tāpēc mums jālūd šo žēlstīgāko kungu, lai mums viņš tas atbrīvo mūs no šiem te šaubu demoniem.
So when these demons are removed, then we can 100% surrender.
Un tad, kad šie demoni ir aizvākti, tad mēs 100% varam nododies.
And we can get all of our mercy through the nice channel, the spiritual energy channel.
Tad mēs saņemam visu žēlastību par šo labo, jauko kanālu, garīgās enerģijas kanālu.
Prabhupada makes some important points here about the Vaishnava philosophy and the Mayavadi philosophy.
Prabhupada šeit akcentē svarīgus punktus par Vaishnavu un Mayavadi filozofiju.
The Mayavadi philosophers are very proud of their so-called Vedic knowledge. They will say the only truth is Vedic, the four Vedas, that is the only truth. And where is Krishna mentioned in the four Vedas? The four Vedas teach us, I am Brahman. So, you Krishna Bhaktas, you are an illusion. You don't understand that everything is Brahman.
Jūs, Krishnas Bhaktas, esiet ilūzijā. Jūs nesaprotat, ka viss ir Brahmans.
You're carried away by like some born-again Christians, you know, with some sentimentalism.
Jūs esat tā kā tādi, no jaunatzimušie kristieši, jūs tiekat aizvilkt prom ar sentimentalismu.
You're not very philosophical, you Hare Krishna people.
Hare Krishna cilvēki, jūs neesat pārāk filozofi.
But actually, that's not true.
Patiesībā tā nav taisnība.
It's stated right there in the Atharva Veda.
Un skaidri Atharva Veda ir teikts.
That in the beginning of the universe, Krishna imparted the Vedic knowledge to Brahmaji.
Ka visuma sākumā, Krishna nodeva vediskās zināšanas Brahmaji.
The Vedic knowledge comes from Krishna, according to the Atharva Veda.
Un saskaņā ar Atharva Vedu zināšanas, vēdiskās zināšanas
Brahmaji gave it to Narada gave it to Vyasadeva.
Brahmaji nodeva tās Naradam un Narada Vyasadevam.
Vyasadeva is the compiler of the Vedic wisdom.
Vyasadeva sastādīja vēdiskās zināšanas, apkopojotās.
Vyasadeva accepts Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God.
Vyasadeva pieņem Krishna kā Dieva augstāko personību.
Ahustvang rishaya sarve devarshir naradas tata acito devalo vyasa svayam chaiva bravishi me. Chapter 10, text number
13.
The translation is that all the great all the great authorities, such as Narada, Sita, Devala, and Vyas, have confirmed this truth about you, that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and now you yourself are declaring it to me.
Arjuna sacīja, tu esi Dieva augstākā personība, augstākā mājvieta, visdīrākais, absolūtā patiesība, tu esi mūžīgais, pārpasaulīgais, sākotnējā personība, nedzimušais un visvaranais. To saka arī visi dižinie gudrie, Narada, Asita, Devala un Vyasa, un tagad tu pats to veisti man.
So these Mayavadi philosophers, their knowledge is imperfect.
Un šo Mayavadi filozofu zināšanas ir nepilnīgas.
Based on mental speculation.
Un tās ir vienkārši uz prātojumiem balstītas.
If your senses are imperfect and your mind is imperfect, how you can base your knowledge on mental speculation?
Ja jūsu jutekļi ir nepilnīgi, jūsu prāts ir nepilnīgs, kā tad jūs varat balstīt savus zināšanas uz prātojumiem?
Is mental speculation a solid basis on which to base your understanding of reality?
Vai tad prātojumiem ir kāds pamats nesatricināms, uz kuru jūs balstīt savu izpratni par realitāti?
That's what they do.
Tas ir tas, ko viņi dara.
They want to base their understanding of reality on mental speculation.
Viņi mēģina balstīt savu izpratni par realitāti uz prātojumiem.
Therefore, they are bewildered souls, these Mayavadis.
Un tāpēc viņas ir neziņā, viņi ir neziņā, šie Mayavadi.
They say that everything is one, I'm God, you're God, and we're all God.
Viņi saka, viss ir viens, es esmu Dievs, tu esi Dievs, viss ir Dievs.
But when God gets a toothache, what does he have to do? When God gets a toothache, what does he have to do?
Bet kad Dievam ir zobs sāpes, ko tad lai dara?
He has to run to the dentist.
Tad viņam jāiet pie zobārsta.
What kind of God is that?
Kas ir tas tāds par Dievu?
He has to run to the dentist to have his tooth pulled out.
Viņam jāiet pie zobārsta, lai tas izrauj viņam zobu.
And he says, I am God.
Viņš saka, esmu Dievs.
Simply rubbish philosophy, this Mayavadi philosophy.
Pilnīgi miskas teizmetām filozofija, tā Mayavadi filozofija.
There was one young boy, he was claimed that he was God. And he had thousands of followers, actually thousands and thousands of followers. Everyone said that he was God.
And they said that they are God too.
And he had thousands of followers who accepted that he was God. So there was a press conference. And in that, he was being interviewed in a press conference. And somebody threw a pie in his face. And Prabhupada is very happy to hear about that. He said, our men should go and do that pie. And then Prabhupada said, actually, they should pass urine in his face. Prabhupada is very happy to hear that they threw a pie in the face of this bogus incarnation Mayavadi philosopher. So in this way, we should not let these Mayavadis push us around with their bogus philosophy.
Un mums atšķirībā no tiem, kā nevajadzētu darīt tā kā tiem Mayavādi un pievērsties šādai nepatiesai filozofijai.
We should be able to present the Vaishnava Siddhanta with logic and with Vedic reference.
Mums ir jābūt spējīgiem iepazīstināt cilvēkus ar Vaishnava Siddhantu kā no rakstu viedokļa, tā no loģikas viedokļa.
They will quote from verses in the Vedas where it is stated that God is of rupa, which means without form.
Viņi citē pāntus no rakstiem, kuri teiks, ka Dievs ir arūpa, bez formas.
But when they do that, they take it out of context.
Bet tad, kad viņi to dar, viņi izrauj šo pāntu.
Because in one verse it describes the transcendental form of the Lord, and the next verse it says he is without form. The two verses are right next to each other.
Bet tur ir divi panti blakus. Viens pants apraksta pārpasaulīgu, Dievu pārpasaulīgo formu, un otrajā pantā tiek aprakstīts, ka viņš ir bez formas.
So the only way to properly understand that then is arūpa means without any material form.
Vienīgais veids, kā to pareizi saprast, ir, ka arūpa nozīmē bez jebkādas materiālās formas.
So the Vedic references which describe God as formless means he is without material form. It doesn't mean he has no form at all, and it means he has no material form.
Un tās atsauces uz Vedām, kurās ir teikts, ka Dievs ir bez formas, tās nozīmē tikai to, ka Dievam nav materiālās formas, nevis to, ka viņam nav vispār nekādas formas.
The Mayavadis have an agenda, they want to establish that they are God.
Un tā ideja, kāpēc Mayavadi to dara, tas plāns ir, ka viņi grib iedibināt to, ka viņi ir Dievs.
And to do so, they present an impersonal, formless God as the supreme truth.
Un lai to panāktu, viņi tātad runā par to, viņi prezentē, ka Dievs ir bez formas.
And to establish that impersonal, formless God, they take verses out of context.
Un lai to izdarītu, tad viņi izrauj no noteiktus pantus, no rakstiem ārpus konteksta.
And twist the meaning. This was actually begun in a very big way by Shankaracharya. He did it for a purpose, though. It wasn't done whimsically. He did it for the purpose of defeating Buddhism. Buddhism says everything is void, everything is zero.
Buddhism saka, viss ir tukšums, viss ir nulle.
And Lord Buddha completely drove Vedic culture out of India. There was no acceptance of Vedas at all after Buddha's.
Kunga Buddhas laikā viņš pilnībā izstūva vediskās zināšanas ārpus Indijas. To nebija.
So for the purpose of re-establishing Vedic wisdom in India, it had to be done gradually. So first of all, Shankaracharya, he re-established Vedic culture on the basis of an impersonal understanding of the Vedas.
Shankaracharya atkal iedibināja vedisko kultūru, un pamats tam bija impersonālā dievisprat.
To say that God is the absolute truth is one, or the absolute truth is zero, there's not much difference.
Starpība vai teikt, ka absolūtā patiesība ir nulle, tukšums, vai absolūtā patiesība ir viens vesels, tur nav lielas starpības.
The Buddhists could not accept a personal God.
Buddhists nevarētu pieņemt Dievu kā personību.
But the idea of the impersonal God, that they could accept, you see. If you tell an atheist to accept God, he'll say, get out of here, you're crazy.
But
if you tell the atheist, my dear sir, did you know that you were God?
He'll
go, really? He'd be interested to hear about that, you see. Well, if I can be God, then maybe I'll believe in God again. Then it's not so bad. So Shankaracharya taught the atheist that actually you are God. He taught them that the Vedas established that you are God. So they said, okay, we'll accept your Vedas, because the Vedas are saying that I am God, I'll accept Vedas. So he presented a misunderstanding of Vedic wisdom. As a means of getting Vedic culture in the doors.
Bet ar mērķi, lai vispār dabūt pāris lieksniem par šo veidu kultūru.
Just like a salesman may come to your door, you see.
Tā kā, piemēram, pārdevējs var atnākt pie jūsu durvīm.
And he says, don't worry, I'm not trying to sell anything.
Un tad viņš saka, nesatraucieties, es jau te neko netaisu pārdot.
And he gets in the door, you see. Don't worry, I'm not trying to sell anything.
Pāris lieksniem istabā.
So in this way, Shankaracharya, he played a trick. The Vedas say that you are God. So now you must accept the Vedas. And they did. And then after establishing Vedic culture,
Un tad, kad tika atkal iedibināta Veda kultūra,
he said, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Mudamate. He says, my dear intellectual fools and word jugglers, your grammatical knowledge and word jugglery will not save you at the time of death. My dear grammatical word jugglers and fools.
Vārdu pareizi vārdu žonglētāji un muļķi. Jūsu spējas pareizi žonglēt vārdus, jūs neglābs.
All of this word jugglery will not save you. Just worship Govinda, worship Govinda, worship Govinda.
Un tā vietā jums ir vienkārši ir jākalpo Govindam, kalpojot Govindam.
But they didn't accept his final teaching.
Bet viņi nepieņēma viņa pēdējo mācību.
It took a number of Vaishnava acharyas to gradually defeat it. Ramanujacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, Madhvacharya, they gradually defeated Mayavadi philosophy in full.
Un šie pieminētie acharyi pakāpeniski viņi sakāvu Mayavadi filozofiju.
And Lord Chaitanya completely smashed it, finished.
Un Chaitanya pilnīgi tos satrieca.
Achintya Beda Beda Tattva established that principle. The absolute truth is simultaneously, inconceivably, one and different.
Philosophy, ka absolūtā patiesība ir vienlaicīgi viena un simultaneously
simultaneously one and different.
Augstākā patiesība vienlaicīgi ir viena.
This like if I have a drop of water from the Atlantic Ocean.
Piemēram, ja man ir Atlantijas okeāna piliens šeit plauksā.
Is this the Atlantic Ocean or is it not the Atlantic Ocean?
Vai tas ir Atlantijas okeāns vai nav Atlantijas okeāns?
Vishnu Premāraji says, yes, it is. Huh? You say, yes, it is? Is it? Well, in one sense, you're right.
Jā, no vienas puses jums ir taisnība, kas saka, ja.
Because this drop of Atlantic Ocean has exactly the same chemical composition as the entire Atlantic Ocean. So it is Atlantic Ocean, that's true. But if I say it's the Atlantic Ocean, in English that means it implies it's the entire Atlantic Ocean, then that is not true.
But if I say it's the Atlantic Ocean, that's not true.
In the Atlantic Ocean, you can float a huge aircraft carrier.
Jūs, piemēram, varat Atlantijas okeāns var nest milzīgus tur tankerus armijas kuģus.
So I challenge you to float an aircraft carrier on one drop of Atlantic Ocean water.
Un pamēģiniet šāds te kara kuģi, lai šis piliens nes šādu kara kuģi.
So that drop of Atlantic Ocean, it is Atlantic Ocean.
Atlantijas okeāns piliens ir Atlantijas.
But it's not the Atlantic Ocean.
That's now this Atlantic Ocean.
So in the same way, each and every one of us, we are God, we are Brahman. Because we are qualitatively one. Just like that drop of ocean water is the Atlantic Ocean. But it's not the entire Atlantic Ocean. So we are tiny samples of God, that we can say.
Mēs varam teikt, ka mēs esam mazi, niecīgi Dieva paraudziņi.
We are the fragments of God.
Mēs esam Dieva fragmenti.
But you cannot say we are the complete whole God.
Mēs varam teikt, ka mēs esam pilnīgs Dievs.
The impersonalists, they want to establish that the jiva is the complete whole.
Impersonalisti, viņi vēlas iedibināt izpratni, ka mēs esam viss.
That you yourself are the complete whole.
Katrs no mums, mēs esam pilnīgums.
Does that make sense? Vai that you could be the complete whole?
Vai tams ir saprātīgi, ka jūs esat, katrs no jums ir pilnīgums?
I was preaching on the University of Florida campus back in the 70s.
70. Gados es sludināju Florida studentu pilsētu.
In those days, Mayavadi philosophy was very popular on the U.S. campuses.
Un tajā laikā studentu pilsētiņās mai vadīja filozofija bija ļoti populāra.
There was many long-haired hippies who thought they were God.
Un tur bija daudz garumtaini hippie, kas uzskatīja, ka viņi ir dievi.
And they would come and take prasadam. I was serving out the prasadam.
Un viņi nāca un viņiem deva prasadam.
Yeah, I was serving prasadam on the campus, and they would tell me, I am God. So I would challenge them that God knows everything. You just tell me when I was born, you see. And they could not say. So they were defeated. One boy, he wanted to prove that he was God. My godbrother Shamakunda Prabhu, he approached him on the campus and gave him a book. You see, he's selling a book, Krishna book. Shamakunda Prabhu. So this boy said, why do I need your book? Man, everything is one, don't you know? It's all one, man. So Shamakunda said, okay, if it's all one, then prove it to me. Give me your wallet. So he said, all right, he gave the wallet. So Shamakunda immediately went back to the temple with a wallet. Before he could change his mind, you see. So that boy, he came to the temple and had, he was begging the temple president that he could have his wallet back. So the temple president very kindly gave him his wallet back, minus $20, and he gave him a set of Krishna books. So in this way they try to establish that everything is one. But is that practical? You see? If everything is one, he says, I'm really hungry. It's all, and someone says, it's all one, you see? And say, okay, well, if it's all one, then when you want to eat, I'll just go ahead and eat. You can starve me. It's all one, and when I eat, you're automatically fed, so why worry about it? You don't need to even... I'll just eat. You give me all your food money and I'll just eat all your food. You don't need to eat anymore. I'll just eat on your behalf because it's all one. So this Mayavadi philosophy is completely impractical. But they're very fond of this word jugglery that, yes, I am God. And if you pay me $1,000, I will teach you how to become God also. Simply bogus nonsense. These so-called gurus, swamis, yogis, they're preaching this Mayavadi philosophy. So we have to defeat them very strongly, you see. We can't let them cheat the people. How do we pray every day? Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisheshu Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. Nirvishesha means impersonal, means the Mayavadi impersonalism, you see. And Shunyavadi is voidism. So Prabhupada has come, Paschacha means Western, Desha means countries, Tariye means delivering. So Srila Prabhupada is delivering these Western countries which are so full of impersonalism and voidism. So, if we are the true followers of Srila Prabhupada, then we should be very expert in defeating this impersonalism and voidism. There are many Bhagavad Gitas there in the market, you see. But they are presenting Mayavadi philosophy and preventing people from realizing the personality of Godhead.
Bet tās pasniedz Mayavādi filozofiju un lietas cilvēkiem saprast Dieva augstāko personību.
The very book which is meant to give people understanding of Krishna is polluting them so they cannot understand Krishna.
Tā pati galvenā grāmata, kuras mērķis ir, lai cilvēki paliek saprast patiesību, ir tā piesārņota, ka viņi nevar.
Therefore, there is no book more important for the welfare of this planet than Bhagavad Gita as it is.
Tāpēc nav uz pasaules svarīgākas grāmatas cilvēcei kā šī te Bhagavad Gita tāda kā tā ir.
So, now I can ask if there's any questions.
Tagad es jautāju, vai ir jautājumi.
Yes.
Bieži nākas dzirdēt Krišna savziņu. Tas ir lieliski, bet galvenais tomēr nebūt fanātiķi. Ko nozīmē fanātisms? Ko nozīmē būt fanātiķi?
I have heard quite often that, yes, Krishna consciousness, that's fine, that's very nice philosophy. But the main thing is not to be, that it doesn't turn into fanaticism. What do you say in English? Fanaticism,
yeah.
Fanaticism. What does it mean? Fanaticism.
Fanaticism means to blindly accept something without any philosophical or logical basis.
Fanatisms nozīmē akli pieņemt kaut ko bez loģiskas vai filozofiska, bez loģiskas vai filozofiska pamata.
So when someone says, why are you a devotee of Krishna? You say, well, I don't know.
Ja kāds saka, kāpēc tu esi Krishnas bhakta un atbild, es nezinu.
Then you're a fanatic.
Jūs esat fanātiķis.
And we don't want fanatics here.
Un mēs nevēlamies, lai mums būtu šeit fanātiķi.
Why am I giving all these lectures?
Kāpēc es sniedzu visu šīs lekcijas?
So you can develop a scientific understanding of what is the Supreme Absolute Truth, what and who am I, and what is my relationship with the Supreme Absolute Truth.
Vai jūs saprastu, zinātniski saprastu, kas ir augstākā patiesība, kas esmu es, un kādas ir manas attiecības ar augstāko patiesību?
If someone blindly says this is fanaticism, then you say, all right, well, if fanatic means blindly, so if you prove to me that this is fanaticism, what is your proof that this is fanaticism?
Ja kāds aklis saka, tas, ko tu dari, tas ir fanātiķi, jūs esat fanātiķi. Tad jums viņam jāsaka, labi, tad pierādi, ka es esmu fanātiķis.
If you cannot prove your statement, then you're guilty of fanaticism, sir.
Ja tu nevar pierādīt, ja jūs nevarat pierādīt, ka es esmu fanātiķis, tad jūs apgalvojums pats par sevi ir fanātisks.
Fanaticism means to state something without giving any logical basis for it. That's fanaticism.
Fanātisms nozīmē teikt kaut ko, un ka tam apakšā nav nekādas loģiskas bāzes.
We can give complete logical basis for what we're doing.
Mēs sniedzam pilnīgi loģisku pamatu visam, ko mēs darām.
So what is your logical basis for life labeling it as fanaticism?
Kas ir jūsu loģiskais pamats, ja jūs piešķirat mums šo te fanātismu bieži?
Here's our logical basis.
Lūk ir mūsu loģiskais pamats.
Do you exist?
Vai jūs eksistējat?
How do you know you exist?
Kā jūs zināt, ka jūs eksistējat? I feel it.
That's right. You have consciousness. Therefore, you can understand you exist because you are conscious.
Jums ir apziņa, tāpēc jūs varat saprast, ka jūs eksistējat.
Did you produce yourself, or are you a product of something other than yourself?
Vai jūs esat sevi radījis pats, vai jūs esat kaut kā cita radīts?
Yes, I'm product.
Yes. So... You are a product of something other than yourself. That's very good understanding. Now, do we have any experience that something comes out of nothing?
Vai mums ir kāda pieredze, kad kaut kas rodas no nekā?
Is any scientist ever able to produce something out of nothing?
Vai ir kāds zinātnieks, kam ir izdevies kaut ko radīt no nekā? No, everything has its beginning.
That's right. So, you came from something, which came from something, which came from something, which came from something.
Jūs esat nācis no kaut kā, kas ir savukārt atkal nācis no kaut kā, kas atkal savukārt nācis no kaut kā un tā tālāk.
There is a chain of causality which produced you.
Ir cēlonības ķēde, kuras, kas ir radījusi jūs.
So somewhere in that chain of causality there has to be a power that can act on its own volition without having another power pushing it into motion.
Un šajā ķēdē ir jābūt tādam spēkam, kas spēj darboties, kas ir could you repeat that last that power who was able to
there has to be some power that can act on its own volition without another power activating it.
What that word was his own what?
Own volition or will.
Tad ir jābūt kādam spēkam, kas ir spējīgs darboties pats no savas gribas un kuru neietekmē nekāds cits spēks.
There is something which caused you, which is caused by something, which is caused by something, which is caused by something. But there has to be somewhere out there a something which doesn't require another something to empower it to act.
Again, jūs esat no kaut kā, kas ir no kaut kā, kas ir no kaut kā. Bet ir jābūt vienā brīdī kaut kam,
if there is nothing which can act on its own volition, then nothing can ever happen. There'll be no action.
Jo doma tāda, ka ja nav nekā tāda, kas var darboties tikai pamatojoties uz savu gribu, tad nekas nevarētu būt noticis.
So somewhere it is called the unmoved mover.
Un tas kāds tiek saukts neizkustināmais, tas, kurš
there has to be something out there that can move on its own without being moved by something else. You see.
Tātad ir jābūt kādam, kas var kustēties pats un cita nekustināts.
That unmoved mover is the instigator of reality.
Un šis te neizkustināmais kustinātājs ir visas realitātes.
And we are the products of that reality.
Instigator.
Means beginner.
Tas ir bijis viss realitātes sākums.
So, therefore we can understand that there is a supreme source for existence itself.
Tādā veidā mēs saprotam, ka ir augstākais avots eksistencei.
Even the scientists are trying to understand what is the origin of the universe.
Pat, kad zinātnieki mēģina saprast, kas ir visuma cēlonis.
Everyone agrees there's an origin.
Visi piekrīt, ka ir kāds cēlonis.
There's an origin for the universe.
Ka ir sākums, jā, ka visumam ir sākums.
And that we are coming from that origin.
Ka ir kāds cēlonis, ka mēs esam no tā visi nākuši.
So, what is our relationship with that origin, you see?
Un kādas mūsu attiecības ir ar šo te sākotni?
The origin has emanated us from itself, and we are the emanated energy of that origin.
Tas sākotnējais avots ir izpaudis mūsu no sevis, un mēs esam tas izpaustais.
So what is the nature of that origin?
Un kāda ir daba šiem pirmavotam?
The example I always give, let's say every day I came to you and I gave you one kilogram of pure gold.
Piemērs, ko es mienu, ka piemēram, ja es katru dienu jums atnesu 1 kilogram zelta.
Every day I'm giving you 1 kilogram of pure gold.
Katru dienu es jums nesu 1 kilogram zelta.
You'd become very wealthy very, very quickly.
Jūs ļoti ātri kļūtu ļoti bagāts.
How much is a kilogram of gold going for these nowadays? One gram is how much? About $1,000?
More.
Huh?
More.
How much?
5 grams.
A troy ounce.
Yeah, 5 grams.
30 dollars, tad 18 lati. I'll tell you,
it's about 1 kilogram, it's about $35,000.
$35,000, okay. So every day, I gave you $35,000 worth of gold. You'd be pretty happy. In 10 days, in 1 month, you'd be worth, you'd be a millionaire within 1 month. And it wouldn't take you, in 1 month, let's see, about 1,000 months would be, well, 30 years. Anyway, it wouldn't be bad to be a millionaire within a month. That's pretty good.
You're
worth $12 million by the end of the year. So you become very curious. You say, well, where are you getting all this gold anyway? I say, well, I have a gold mine. I say, really, you have a gold mine? How much gold do you have in that gold mine? I say, well, there's no gold in the gold mine. Will you believe me? No, you're lying. How can you give me 1 kilo of pure gold every day when there's no gold in the gold mine? There has to be gold in the gold mine. Therefore, we see from this origin, there are so many persons coming out. I'm a person, you're a person, we're all persons. Therefore, the origin of all these persons must possess personality. Just as you cannot get gold out of a goldless gold mine,
tieši tāpat kā jūs nevarat dabūt ārā zeltu no zelta raktuvēm, kurās nav zelta.
You cannot get persons out of an impersonal origin of existence.
Jūs nevarat iegūt personības no avota, kas ir bezpersonisks.
This is logic.
Tā ir loģika.
There is no fanaticism.
Tur nav nekāds fanātisms.
This is pure logic.
Tā ir tīra loģika.
So that origin, whether you call it God, whatever you may call it, there is a person who is the origin of all existence.
Lai kā jūs to saukt par Dievu vai kā savādā, ir personība, kas ir pirmavots mūsu eksistencē.
In this Krishna consciousness movement, we are not a religion.
Krishna apziņas kustība nav reliģija.
We are a scientific movement trying to understand and perfect our relationship with that supreme person who is the origin of all existence.
Zinātniskā veidā cenšamies saprast un attīstīt šīs attiecības ar augstāko personību.
There is not a pinch of fanaticism in the Hare Krishna movement.
Tur nav pat šķipsna fanātismu Krishna sapratnē.
For those who actually understand what is Krishna consciousness.
Tiem, kas patiešām saprot, kas ir Krishna sapratnē.
We may have fanatic members who don't understand Prabhupada's teachings.
Mums varētu būt fanātiski biedri, kas nesaprot Prabhupada's mācību.
But we are trying to train them as quickly as possible to go beyond the level of fanaticism. Because there is not a tinge of fanaticism in these teachings, not even a slight pinch of fanaticism in these teachings. Next question.
Yeah.
Не только преданных, но вообще искать какую-то проблему. Там, в храме искать, приходишь и все время ищешь. Что не как все прекрасно, а какую-то проблему, допустим, там, не буду ходить больше на лекции в храм, там что-то непонятно с лекциями, что-то ректора как-то непонятно говорят. Или не буду приходить на махату, там просад какой-то странный, или там старшие преданные какие-то гордые. Вот, какой вы могли бы дать совет? Какое нужно занять положение своего мысли? Какое настроение должно быть? Или что нужно изменить в себе, чтобы такие желания больше не приходили? Искать что-то вот странное, что-то вот не то. Какие-то проблемы.
Мы это делаем, мы с этим то и варуем, цитируем, это все катра, ну,
mums iekšā, ka mēs meklējam negatīvo apkārtni. Kādam ir jābūt prāta stāvoklī, lai neraudzītos pie šī negatīvā.
I have noticed, although I believe that I myself am kind of like these people, but as we usually notice something bad in others, that there are devotees who are looking for defects everywhere. Let's say I'm not attending this class because I'm not attending classes because I don't like lecturers. I'm not attending Namahats because I don't like prasadam, and this and that is bad. And the question is, what should be my mood to avoid such vision, to look for defects everywhere?
You have to understand that devotees who have a negative look like, they're not really devotees in one sense.
Mums ir jāsaprot, ka tie baktas, kas skatās un ievēro negatīvo no vienas puses, viņi nav īsti baktas.
Someone who's full of negative vision like that, they're called kanishta adhikari, they're materialistic devotees.
Tos savs, ar negatīvu skatījumu, tos savs kanishta adhikari, materialistiski baktas.
So we respect them that they're chanting Hare Krishna. We respect them for them.
Mēs cienām viņus par to, ka viņi atkārto Hare Krishna.
But we respect them from a distance.
Bet mēs cienām viņus pa gabalu.
We don't want to mix intimately with people who are full of negativity like them.
Mēs nevēlamies tos attiecības ar cilvēkiem, kas ir pilni negatīvis.
We want to associate with advanced devotees who have completely positive vision, you see.
Mēs vēlamies biedroties ar tādiem zinošiem baktām, kas ir pilni pozitīvis.
You need to find devotees who have the most positive vision, associate with them.
Jums ir jāatrod baktas, kuriem ir cik iespējams pozitīvs redzējums un jābiedrojas.
And you yourself should emanate so much positivity that even the negative neophytes will become positive by your association.
Un jums pašam no sevis vajag izspirot tik daudz pozitīvismu, ka pat šie negatīvie neofīti, ka tas, ka jūs pat viņus maināt. But if you notice that you are one of them,
then you have to find devotees who are very positive and take shelter of their association. Because by the power of their association, their positive association, you'll become free from negativity.
Tāpēc, ka pateicoties tam spēkam, ko dod biedrošanās ar šiem pozitīvajiem baktām, jūs atbrīvosieties no negatīvisma.
Next question.
Nākamais jautājums. Paskaidrot tiem draugiem, kas uzskata, ka man jau vairāk es vēl plāju Krišņas apziņai, ka tas ir egoistiski, jo es attīstos tikai sev un aizmirstu viņiem, kā lai viņiem paskaidro, ka es darbojos arī viņu labā.
Tie, kas
neatbalsta, nesaprot. I have noticed that lately that the more I spend my time and energy for Krishna consciousness, some of my friends who don't accept what I do, they blame me for being selfish, that I spent my time for myself, and I forgot them, and how to persuade them that what I'm doing is for it's beneficial for them also.
You're neglecting me.
Jūs man paslēt novārtā.
Sometimes the hand may feel, the parts of the body may feel neglected, and we see that we're feeding all the food to the stomach.
Tā ēdienu kaste, kaste, kura atradās ēdiens, viņai var šķist, ka viņa ir atstāt novārtā, tad, kad mēs pabarojam vēdā.
In fact, there's a story in this connection. The parts of the body, they became very disturbed to see that the belly was getting all the food. So they decided to form a labor union and go on strike. They were chanting their slogans. Don't feed the stomach. Don't feed the stomach. The stomach is a capitalist pig. Don't feed the stomach. Don't feed the stomach. With great energy, they carried on with their strike. But on the second day, they were losing their energy somehow or other. Don't feed the stomach. Don't feed the stomach. The stomach is a capitalist pig. Don't feed the stomach. But on the third day, don't feed the stomach. Don't feed the stomach. And then they said, I don't know what's going on here, but I think we better call another meeting of the labor union. I think we better call off the strike. So in this way, you see, they were trying to deny the stomach, but they were dependent on the stomach. So your friends are going on strike, that, oh, you're giving all your love to Krishna. You're not giving any love to us, you're giving all your love to Krishna. But they don't realize they are dependent on Krishna. It's like the bodily parts, they didn't realize they were dependent on that stomach. So now they're going on with great enthusiasm in their strike. Don't go to Hare Krishna, don't go to Hare Krishna, they're a bunch of fanatics, don't go to Hare Krishna. But that day will come and they will lose their energy, they won't be able to strike. You're doing the greatest benefit for all living entities by giving your love to Krishna. Because when you give your love to Krishna, you're giving the best service to everyone. But I would suggest that you pacify your friends. You bring them the nicest prasadam. So they feel that you are their very best friend. Any other question? Everyone satisfied now? Yes.
Es lasos, cenšos saprast, kas ir Dievs, apkārt ir tik daudz dažādas reliģijas, bet pa lielam, kas tad ir Dievs? Dievs ir mīlestība, Dievs ir, kas ir Dievs?
in a big sense, I'm trying to understand what is God. There are so many religions, but what is God? Is it love? Is it, what is it, God?
Yeah. God means the absolute source from which all energies are emanating.
Dievs nozīmē absolūts avots, no kura visas enerģijas izplūst.
The supreme powerhouse.
Tas ir tad augstākā spēkstacija.
God is not love, God is the source of love.
Dievs nav mīlestība, Dievs ir mīlestības avots.
Have you ever had a loving relationship with something that was impersonal?
Vai jums ir kādreiz bijušas mīlestības pilnas attiecības ar kādu, kas ir bezpersonisks?
Did you ever have a love relationship with something that was impersonal? No.
Nē.
Love means a relationship with a person.
Mīlestība nozīmē attiecības ar personību.
If there's no relationship with a person, there's no love.
Ja nav attiecības ar personību, tad nav mīlestības.
Therefore, God is the supreme person who is full of unlimited love.
Tāpēc Dievs ir augstākā personība, kas ir pilns ar bezgalīgu mīlestību.
Love is the gift of God.
Un mīlestība ir Dieva dāvana.
But it's not that love itself is God.
Bet nav tā, ka mīlestība pati par sevi ir Dievs.
Love is the gift of God to us, you see.
Mīlestība ir Dieva dāvana mums.
He gives us His love so that we can give Him our love.
Viņš dod mums savu mīlestību, lai mēs varētu dot viņam pretī savējo.
Love is the relationship that we have with God.
Un mīlestība tās ir attiecības, kas mums ir ar Dievu.
And when we give our love to God, then we automatically we have loving relationship with all of His children also. When you love the Father, you also love the children automatically.
Tad mēs dodam Dievam savu mīlestību, tad mums automātiski ir mīlestības pilnas attiecības ar visām pārējām dzīvām būtnēm. Līdzīgi tāpat kā tad, kad jūs mīlat tēvu, jūs automātiski mīlat visus viņu bērnus.
So it's not that God is love.
Tas nav tā, ka Dievs ir mīlestība.
God is loving.
Dievs ir mīlošais.
God is that person who is full of unlimited love.
Dievs ir tas, kas ir pilns ar bezgalīgu mīlestību.
So religion is one, actually.
Un reliģija ir tikai viena patiesībā.
It means to become a lover of God.
Un tā nozīmē kļūt par to, par
what do you call them? Allah, Jehovah, Krishna, or Christ? That is our Buddha, it doesn't matter.
Nav svarīgi, kā jūs nosaucat.
But there is one person who is the origin of everything.
Bet ir viena personība.
And religion means to relink. Religio means relink or reconnect.
Un religija nozīmē atjaunot attiecības.
So religion means to reconnect with God. That is religion.
Un religija nozīmē atjaunot saikni ar Dievu.
And the process of connecting, that is love.
Un šis process, kā atjaunot šo te kontaktu, ir mīlestība.
Does that answer your question?
Tas atbild uz jūsu jautājumu.
Any other questions? What does love mean?
Ko nozīmē mīlestība?
Love means selfless giving.
Mīlestība nozīmē nesautīgu došanu.
Without any thought of return, that is love.
Bez jeb mazākās domas par to, ka saņemt kaut ko pretī. Tā ir mīlestība.
Huh? All right.
Giving what? Ko dot?
Everything.
Jebko. Visu.
Whatever you have, you give God everything. That is love.
Poor.
You give Him your words.
Viskas jums ir. Jūs varat dot savus vārdus.
Oh, you give Him your whole life.
Dodiet savu dzīvi.
Or you give Him your money.
Vai dodat naudu.
Give Him your words.
Savus vārdus.
Give Him your intelligence.
Saprātu.
Give Him everything you have.
Tas, kas jums ir, to arī dod.
That is love.
Tā ir mīlestība.
Is it clear?
Vai tas ir skaidrs?
Not love means you don't hold anything back.
Mīlestība nozīmē, ka jūs neko negaidat atpakaļ.
Prabhupada said, God, Krishna doesn't see what you give, he sees what you're holding back for yourself.
Neko nepaturē sev. Prabhupāda saka, Krišna neskatās uz to, ko tu dod, Krišna skatās, ko tu paturi.
Holding back means that you...
Keeping, not yeah. giving, yeah.
Ko tu turi.
You see, a poor person may come and put one, what is it, lati?
Yeah.
One lati in the box, you see.
Nabadzīgs cilvēks var dozēdot vienu latu.
A rich man may come and put 10,000 latis, you see.
Bagāts cilvēks var 10,000.
And you may think, oh, just see, this rich person is such a great devotee, he gave 10,000 latis.
Un kāds var teikt, oh, šis te cilvēks noziedojas par 10,000 latis.
And this person, he gave one lati, he's not worth much.
Tas nav nekas īpaši.
But that one lati was all the money he had.
Bet tas viens lats bija visu naudu, kas viņam bija.
And for this, this person was a multi-billionaire. 10,000 latis was nothing for him. So who is the great devotee? The one who gave one lati or 10,000 latis? Krishna sees who, what you're not giving, you see. So the true lover of God is that person who doesn't hold back anything for himself. He gives everything for Krishna. That is the true lover of God. Any other questions? Yeah.
Vai Krishna var ziedot savas sliktās īpašības un sliktos sirdumus un ja var tā kā tu izdarīt?
Krishna var ziedot savas
sliktās. Ja visu, tā visu.
Savas sliktās īpašības, savas sliktos.
Can we give our bad habits to Krishna?
And bad qualities.
Bad qualities, bad habits.
Now you give them up for Krishna.
Tad, tad jūs Krishnas dēļ atsakāties no viņa. Vai tā ir ielastīgi, mēs dodam cilvēkam pudru un sakam, pasaki Hare Krishna.
If we give a person a bowl of porridge and giving, we are saying, say Hare Krishna, is it love?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You can induce someone to say, say Hare Krishna, that is the greatest love. That what you're doing in Food for Life? Everybody has to say Hare Krishna when they get their bowl?
Food for Life, yeah?
If you can induce them to say Hare Krishna, that is the greatest mercy.
Tā ierosināt tādā veidā pateikt Hare Krishna, tā ir vēlākā
žēlistība. Everybody who comes to this line here, that's, these long queues, they all just say Hare Krishna when they get down there to get their bowl.
Visi tā rinda, visi tie cilvēki, viņiem ir jāpasaka Hare Krishna, lai saņemt to. Ja?
That's very good. And the government supporting it too, that's very good.
Un valsts to, valsts to arī, kas ir ļoti labi.
Okay, next
question. Tad mēs tam cilvēks saka, Jēzus jūs glābs, vai tā ir mīlestība.
But if in this process, in return, we get words, Jesus will save you, is it love?
Yes. Jesus is a pure devotee.
Yeah.
We agree, yes, Jesus will save us. We agree with that. We appreciate that statement. Jesus is Krishna's pure devotee. The pure devotees does save us. That's a fact. We have no argument with this idea of Jesus saves us. We have full acceptance for Lord Jesus. He is our guru. If you tell me that Jesus will save me, then I'm thinking, yes, my guru will save me. Prabhupada said, Jesus is our spiritual master. So if they say, Jesus saves, we say, yes, very good. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir, for reminding me of my spiritual master, Lord Jesus. Next question. Everybody's ready to go now.
Just want to know about again meditation, because it's again in many cultures. What is meditation? I've never done that, so.
Kas ir meditācija, jo tā ir ne tikai Krišnas apziņā, tā ir dažādās kultūrās.
I'd like to know more about meditation, because meditation is not only here in the Krishna consciousness. I've never tried it, and I'd like to know what is meditation.
Most of the meditations that people do nowadays are impersonal, silent meditations.
Galveno pārsvarā meditācija, ko cilvēki piekop mūsdienās, ir klusa meditācija.
They sit very still. And they try to make their mind blank. Say, okay, mind, turn off, turn off, turn off. Don't think of anything, just turn off.
Viņi apsēžās un mēģina atslēgt savu prātu, piespiežot to, ne par ko nedomā.
But what's going on?
Kas notiek?
Their mind, they're saying, turn off. They're thinking about turning off, so they're still thinking.
Bet saprotiet, prāts domā par to, kā viņam atslēgties. Tas nozīmē, ka viņš joprojām domā.
They can't make their mind blank.
Tas nav iespējams tādā veidā atslēgt prātu.
So that sort of meditation where you try to make your mind blank, it is not a very effective system. The highest form of meditation, which is recommended in the Vedas, which are the original books on spiritual enlightenment, mantra meditation is the highest form of meditation. The Vedas recommend that we should not silently meditate. We should meditate on an audible sound vibration. So the recommended sound vibration or mantra for this age is the Hare Krishna mantra. Somebody can show him, we have our gift shop downstairs, they have meditation beads. And a little bag to hold, a meditation bead bag to hold the beads in. So what you should do is get a set of these japa beads from downstairs. And ask one of the devotees to show you how to chant on the beads, how to meditate with the beads. But what you'll do is you'll there's a string of 108 beads. And the basic session for beginners is to do 108 chants. You should get up before the sunrise in the morning, take a bath, get all clean and fresh. And then take the beads and chant the Hare Krishna mantra 108 times, around, counting around the beads. Who would like to volunteer to show this gentleman how to chant on the beads? Okay, he'll show you. He'll train you how to do it. So on each bead you will meditate. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this way, each bead you do that mantra, then you go to the next bead and you go all the way around. And by the time you're done, if you've really focused your mind on the sound of the name, you're going to be on a high spiritual plane.
Un tādā veidā to darot un ļoti uzmanīgi koncentrējoties uz šo vārdu, jūs pareizi visu darāt, tad beidzot šo te apli, jūs jau būsiet uz...
You will be flying high in the spiritual sky.
You'll,
You'll be flying high in the spiritual sky. And if you train yourself to chant every day, you can actually learn how to always stay on the spiritual plane
24/7. And
the amazing thing about the Hare Krishna meditation is this. You can keep the meditation going even when you go to work or to school. Because Krishna says, whatever you're doing, merge it into the meditation. By making it as an offering of love unto me. So you can actually be 24 hours a day in a pure state of meditation. By doing this Hare Krishna mantra meditation every morning. So Stanislav will train you how to do that. I don't know if the shop is open now. I don't know if it's not. So you make an appointment with him so he can actually come and get the beads and begin this process as soon as possible, chanting on the beads every day. Hare Krishna. So anything else? Yeah.
Viens no 10 atvainojumiem svētā vārda atvainojumi ir tas, ja mēs neuzmanīgi atkārtojam svētā vārdu. Jautājums ir pēc nozīmīguma, kādā vietā tas ir un kādā, kas būtu jādara, lai samazinātu šo šī atvainojuma ietekmi, lai uzmanību palielinātu.
One of the 10 offenses is that we are not unattentive chanting. So I would like to know in that rank of 10 offenses, where is it and how important is
it's the basis of all the offenses.
Because
if your mind isn't focused on the mantra, then all the other offenses will be there.
Tāpēc, ja prāts nav fokusēts uz mantru, tad visi pārī apvainojumi būs klāt.
So the most important offense to avoid is inattentiveness.
Un tas ir pats galvenais apvainojums, no kā ir jāizvairās, ir neuzmanība mantras atkārtošana.
So that's why we recommend chanting before sunrise.
Un tāpēc mēs iesakām to darīt pirms saulēta.
When there's not many distractions.
Kad nav pārāk daudz kaut kā, kas var novērst mūsu.
And during the time of the year when the sun rises early, then, you know, get up still when it's calm and peaceful, you know.
Un tajos gadlaikos, kad saule ļoti agri lec, tas ir nelec agri, vienalga certies agrāk, kad ir laiks, kad ir apkārt klus un mierīgi.
Before the birds start chirping, you know.
Pirms putni sāk dziedāt.
Where's the worm? Where's the worm? Where's the worm?
Kur ir tārpiņš, kur tārpiņš?
And the businessmen get up and they're chirping, where's the money, where's the money, where's the money? So you should get up before all the chirping starts, you see. And you should do your chirp. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any other question? Everybody's ready now to fully dive into this ocean of unlimited nectar. The perfection of transcendental meditation. Everyone's ready to say goodbye once and for all to suffering and anxiety. Question?
Vēl viens tā kā vārda aplēmums ir
ir sūtināšana, svētā vārda sūtināšana neticīgiem. Kur ir tā robeža? Kad mēs sūtīm, kā saprast, kur ir robeža?
Tad vēl viens apvainojums ir sludināt neticīgi. Kā saprast, kur ir robeža, kurš ir neticīgais, ja?
Nu, jā.
And I would like you to elaborate on the, another offense, which is preaching to one who doesn't believe. Where is that border?
Well, the Lord Chaitanya has also ordered us to preach to everybody. So what is the proper understanding? Proper understanding is you preach in such a way, you have to tailor fit your preaching according to your audience.
Tā, jums ir jāsludina tādā veidā, ka jums jāpielāgo savu sludināšanu atbilstoši auditorijai.
Some people are not ready for philosophy.
Daži cilvēki nav gatavi filozofijai.
So give them prasādam.
Viņiem dodiet prasādam.
Be their friend.
Esiet viņiem draugs.
So they like you.
Lai jūs viņiem patīk.
And if they like you and you're Krishna conscious, then they benefit just by liking you.
Un tad, ja jūs viņiem patiksiet, vai jūs esat Krishna's apziņā,
and if they like you, then they'll trust you also.
Un ja jūs viņiem patīkat, tad viņi jums uzticēsies.
And the more they feel your love, the more they will trust you.
Un jo vairāk viņi jūtīs jūs mīlestību, jo vairāk viņi uzticēsies jums.
And as they begin to trust you, then you can reveal to them more about Krishna.
Un tad, kad viņi sāk pilnībā jums uzticēt, ir vairāk uzticās, jo tad jūs viņiem varat atklāt par Krishnu.
Just like on the Jewish, many of those Jewish people who survived the concentration camps of Hitler.
Tā kā bija virknem ebreji, kas izglābās koncentrācijas nometnēs.
They were reduced to like skeletons.
Viņi bija pilnīgi tā kā skeletis.
But some of them, when they first got free and they had a chance to eat, they ate too much and they died from overeating.
Un tad, kad viņi tika atbrīvoti un ieguva iespēju ēst, viņi tik daudz apēdās, ka viņi apēda, ka viņi vienkārši nomier.
When you're in a condition like that, you have to gradually, you know, revive your process of eating. You can't just eat a big, huge meal after being in that condition. You can kill you.
Jūs esat bijis tādos apstākļos, piemēram, koncentrācijas nometnēm, tā jums ir pakāpeniski jāatgūst šī spēja ēst, jūs nevarat uzreiz ēst tā kā agrāk.
So you have to gradually give people just a little bit what they can handle, you see. And as they handle a little bit, then give them a little bit more and a little bit more, then gradually bring them to Krishna consciousness. That's the meaning. We should try to touch everyone with Krishna's mercy. But give them according to their level of understanding. And gradually bring them up. But to give a starving man a huge dinner, it could kill him, you see. You give him what he can take without being harmful. So in this way, you have to, this is what it means not to preach to the faithless.
Un tas nozīmē, ka nesludināt neticīgiem.
Give them what they can easily assimilate.
Dodiet viņiem to, ko viņi var viegli uzpieņemt.
And then gradually you can bring them to full Krishna consciousness.
Tad viņi pakāpeniski nonāks līdz pilnai Krishna apziņai.
Any questions? More?
Yeah.
Everyone's totally satisfied now? All questions are answered. All doubts are dissipated. Everyone's completely enlivened now. No more bewilderment. No more confusion. No more delusion. Speak up if you have some problems. I can solve all of your problems. No problema? Okay, very good. Oh, there's one. All right.
Why do we wear kantimala?
Kantimala means that we are marking the body as the property of God.
Kantimāla nozīmē, ka mēs iezīmējam šo ķermeni kā Dieva īpašumu.
The fact is that everything is God's property.
Patiesībā viss pieder Dievam.
Sarva loka maheshvaram. Krishna says, everything is my property.
Krishna saka, viss ir mans īpašums.
How can God make such a claim?
Un kā gan Dievs var to apgalvot?
Because everything is His energy.
Tāpēc, ka viss ir Viņa enerģijas.
Yes. So, by wearing this Kanti Mala, we are acknowledging this body is also God's property. Therefore, it is meant to be engaged in His service. Any other questions? All right. So we'll let everybody go now. Class dismissed. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Śrīmad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.
His grace, Śrīmad Sankarsana Dasa Tikari Maharaj ki
jai.